over. Now, we talked to Pastor on the telephone yesterday, and he said to have excellent services down in Orlando Sunday. He preached both services Sunday in the church pastor by the elders. And he'll preach again tonight, the Lord willing, and be back here at home tomorrow evening. They had some of their friends from the Dominican Republic there. Roberto or Ronaldo, Roberto was there at the service in Santo Domingo. He enjoyed being with him. Hebrews 4, Brother Sam just read this, and quite evident what this chapter is all about. It's obvious. Because six times in the first 11 verses, we read these words, enter into his rest. Let's look at it. And just, if you don't mark it in your Bible, mark it with your mind. Verse 1, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest. Entering into his rest. And look at verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As I have sworn in my wrath. Now, if you look over in Hebrews 3 at verse 11. Hebrews 3:11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Look in your margin now, that little number 2, most of your Bible, the Cambridge Bible. And if they shall enter, shall they enter into my rest? I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So, both of those places over here in verse 3 also, I swore in my wrath. Question is asked, if they shall enter into my rest, or the statement is made, they shall not enter into my rest. So already we see entering into his rest, verse 3, entering into rest, verse 3 again, entering into my rest. God says, my rest. All right, down in verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, or they shall not enter into my rest, the people he was talking to, they didn't. And they couldn't. It's only one that unbelief. They're not entering into my rest. All right, verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works, his God is his. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Oh, my God, that's clear. The subject of this chapter is entering into his rest. God says, my rest, that rest, he's talking about. So this is going to be interesting. I think it will be a blessing to you. The Lord give me some liberty to preach it and use some interest in receiving it. And understanding of this scripture. All right, we start with verse 1. Two things were set forth immediately. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should come short. Two things here. God has promised rest. The promise is left us of entering into rest. That's what it says. Whose promise? There's not one who can make a promise to his people, and that's God. Habakkuk said, God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life before the world began. He promised. And Abraham, that was the fair foundation of Abraham's faith. What? He believed God's promise. That was the foundation. Let me show you that in Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. This is the foundation of Abraham's faith. God, and being fully persuaded what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's the foundation of Abraham's faith, the Word of God, the promise of God. So it says here in Hebrews 4, the very first thing it said is, there's a promise left us of entering the rest. The promise of God. Now, what's the second thing this verse says? The only thing we have to fear, let us therefore fear. We don't fear man. We don't fear what Satan can do. We don't fear them to kill the body. But we fear one thing, not entering into that rest. That's right. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise of God being left to us in Christ of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. Verse 2 shows us an example of people who did. The nation Israel is an example of people to whom the gospel was promised. They had the promises of God. Abraham did, even the first Israelite. The promise of God, the gospel was promised to them, prophesied to them. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God himself will give you a sign, that's what he said. So it was promised to them, it was prophesied to them, it was pictured to them. Gospel pictures. The Passover feast is the gospel. They took a lamb, first thing of the flock, without spot or blemish, put it up for 4 days, observed it, to be sure there was no blemish or spot. Then they slew it, took the blood, put it on the doorpost. God's Passover. That's the gospel. That's Christ is the Lamb. Abraham said that before Moses ever slew that man. He said, God will provide himself a Lamb. That outfit had the gospel promised to him, prophesied to him, pictured. And it says here in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. We know we've heard the gospel. They did too. Why did they arrest? Read on. But the word preached didn't profit them. It didn't help them. What was wrong? Not being mixed with faith. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe the gospel. That's why they didn't enter into rest. Look back at chapter 3 again. Verse 17. Verse 16, Hebrews 3:16. Look at it. For some, when they had heard, they heard, did provoke God. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? What was their sin? Read it, verse 18. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Verse 19. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right. Promise of God is that we'll enter into his rest. The only fear we have comes short of it. These people did come short of it. Why? They didn't believe it. They didn't believe God. All right, watch verse 3. But we which have believed, there's just one way to enter into this rest, that's belief. We which have believed will someday enter this rest. No, it doesn't say that. It says we who have believed do enter this rest. We already enter this rest. This rest we're talking about is not a future rest, the rest right now. How do we enter in? By faith. By faith. We which have believed God, believed Christ, believed his word, do enter into rest. We do right now. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they'll not enter my rest, although the works were finished before the foundation of the world. What does the scripture say? Sir, the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul, now's the time. If there's some work to be done by him, or some mission to be fulfilled, or some healing to be had, tell him, Paul. He's asking you, what must I do to be saved? That's a plain question. And Paul gave him a plain answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one way of entering into rest, to believe God. That's how Abraham, when was Abraham saved? I tell you, when he was saved, he believed God. That's what the scripture says. Over here in Genesis 12, isn't that where the first time that righteousness, imputed righteousness, is mentioned? In Genesis 12, let's look over there and see if we can find this. In Genesis chapter 12, where God took him out and under the stars, and Genesis 15, 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now, Genesis 15, 5. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now for heaven, tell me the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shalt thou say to me. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There it is, right there. Abraham believed, God counted it to him for righteousness. Our Lord Jesus said to the centurion, you know, the centurion said, if you can do anything, help me. Our Lord looked at him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Mark 16, our Lord sent his disciples forth and said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be saved. So the way to enter into his rest, we, verse 3, we which have believed, do enter into rest. Now these three things we've said here so far. Number one, God has promised a rest. He calls my rest his rest. Secondly, this rest is entered only by faith, by belief. We who believe do enter this rest. Thirdly, there's but one thing that will keep you from this rest. That's the heart of unbelief. That's right. That's what he said over here in chapter 3. Chapter 3, look back there at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be found any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the end. So, this way to enter into this rest is by belief. All right, starting with verse 4, where he tells us what this rest is not. What this rest is not. Verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Gives us an example of what this rest is not. In verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, that God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So this rest we're talking about that we do enter into by faith is not a rest that follows a finished work. We're talking about God created work on 6 days. First day, second day, third day, evening and morning, but the sixth day, on the seventh day, God rested. Rested from all his works of creation. But that's not the rest we're talking about that's reserved for others. You see, God didn't stop his providence. He still works his providence. He said, not a sparrow falls to the ground but your Father. God still works. He still works in providence. He still works in redemption. He's redeeming his people. He's calling out the people for his name. So God didn't stop working. And when Paul said, I finished my course, I kept the faith, the time of my departure is at hand, that's not when he enters this rest, when he finished his ministry. So we're not talking about that. And then another thing we're not talking about here is the Sabbath day. He says God did rest the seventh day from all his work, and he gave to Israel a Sabbath day. Every seventh day they rested. They didn't do anything. They walked so many steps, didn't do any cooking, didn't do any washing, didn't do anything like that. They kept the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And even they did that with their fields. Every seventh day the fields had gone. They planted wheat, barley, and rye, whatever they planted, 6 years, and then it rested on that seventh year. And then seven sevens, 49, the 50th year was the year of rest and jubilee. Nobody worked. And all the slaves were set free. Anybody had owed anything, his debt was canceled. It was, but that's not the rest we're talking about. We're not talking about the rest of the completed work. We're not talking about the rest of the Sabbath, seventh day, seventh year. And verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7. And again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus, look at verse 8, if Jesus had given them rest. Now, that word Jesus is a common name. In the Old Testament, it's named Joshua. Joshua. That's the name. This Jesus is Joshua. And what he's saying here, he's not talking about our Lord Jesus Christ here. He's talking about Joshua. You see, Moses didn't take them into Canaan. Moses died. God buried him. But Joshua took them into Canaan. But this rest we're talking about is not Canaan. Look at here. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another rest? Another day. Joshua spoke of another rest. So we're showing here what this rest is not. God has promised rest. He calls it my rest. He calls it his rest. He calls it that rest. Promise. And we enter it by faith, I believe. And the only thing that keeps us out is unbelief. He said, this rest is not God resting on the Sabbath day of creation. Or Israel keeping the Sabbath. Or Joshua taking the people into Canaan. They didn't rest. They fought. Good gracious alive. They fought each other. They fought all everybody around them. And they didn't find any peace in Canaan. And it's not Jerusalem, and it's not heaven we're talking about here. This rest is not heaven, Canaan, or Jerusalem. What is this rest? Verse 9. There remaineth, you talk about the Sabbath, you can talk about Canaan, you can talk about Jerusalem, you can talk about all these things, but there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Who are these people? Told us back here in verse 3, we which have believed do enter into rest. Whatever this rest is, it's for you and me, and we which believe. It's for the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest, his rest, my rest, God said, that rest of the people of God. Let John Gill tell us who they are. You like John Gill? You pastor them? I do. He's a great old preacher. Great old. Listen. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. Not to all mankind, but to believers in Christ, both Jew and Gentile. The people of God, whom he loves with a special love. The people of God, whom he chose from the foundation of the world and gave to Christ. The people of God with whom he entered into an everlasting covenant, saved them by his blood, called them by his grace, called them by his gospel. People of God who believe on his name. This rest is theirs right now. Right now. They do enter into his rest the moment they believe. Christ said, come unto me. They do enter into rest when they believe, a spiritual rest of heart, soul, mind, and spirit, into which they enter and remain on this walk through the world. We which believe do enter into rest, his rest, called my rest. That's right. I'll give you five things that it includes. You might want to write these down, or I'll give them to you later, but listen to it. This rest in Christ, into which we enter through faith, is a rest from the burden of the law. It's a rest from the burden of the law of ceremonies, sacrifices, and special things. Aren't you glad you didn't live in the days of Israel with all those laws, ceremonies, sacrifices, feast days, special days? They remained in constant fear of doing something wrong. And they were. It's a rest from the burden of the law of ceremony, sacrifice, and special days. Let me just read you some scripture. Over here in the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul said this. Romans, the 8th chapter. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from that law, he said. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the law wasn't weak. The flesh was weak, but it couldn't save me. It couldn't give me sanctification. It couldn't give me righteousness. But God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Walk out after the Spirit of that. As far as I'm concerned, that law has been fulfilled in every jot and tittle and taken away. I'm not under that law. I'm at rest. Don't come preaching on a Sabbath day. Don't come telling me I've got to tie this and tie that and tie the other. I'm not under the law to tie. That's a tax that God put on Israel, not on the church. Don't come to me and tell me I can't eat certain meat, taste not, touch not, handle not, because the law says this. I'm not under that law. Christ is under the law of the Spirit of Christ. But I'm resting. I tell you, if I thought for a minute, I stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and don't you let anybody entangle you again under that law. Right. Liberty. We don't use that liberty as a license to sin. I know that. Nobody who loves Christ is looking for a reason to sin or an alibi for his sin. But we're out from under that law. Secondly, this rest in Christ is a rest from the curse of the law. The law says, cursed is everyone that continues not in every part of the law to do this. In other words, in Galatians 3:10, cursed. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. So we're not under the curse of the law no more. We're not under condemnation anymore. Don't talk to me about condemnation and a curse. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, who can lay the thing to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. And I'm not half justified or partially justified. If God justifies, then he always does things right. God never does anything halfway. Who can lay the thing to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified in us. And we are completely justified if God did it. Completely sanctified. Completely righteous. Completely accepted.
care about the law. I'm not interested in the curse of the law. I'm not interested in condemnation. Don't talk to me about standing before Christ in the judgment day and being judged for sin. My sins were purged on Calvary, not otherwise. Free! I've entered rest. I'm resting. Thirdly, this rest is a total rest from the toil and labor of religious duties. The preachers out there in the world are signing to people religious duties to promote spirituality, religious works to find acceptance with God. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He sent us through the washing, regeneration, we're free. We're entered into rest from religious duties and works in order to find acceptance with God. We don't work to be saved. We do what we do because we're saved. Love is a labor of love. It's a work of faith. It's produced by love and produced by faith. It's not produced by requirements. Colossians 2 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we're what? Complete. Complete just means one thing. Complete. Nothing needs to add. We're complete. When a little baby is born into this world, it's complete. He'll never grow another arm or another leg or another finger or another fingernail. Another ear, another eye, it's complete. It's just an infant, but it's complete. He's got everything he'll have when he's a full-grown man or a full-grown girl. He'll just grow. And you're born of God, you're complete in Christ. You've got everything heaven requires, everything the law demands, everything God requires. All the righteousness you're justified. Now we've intended, by His grace, grow. Grow in faith, and grow in love, and grow in mercy, and grow in patience. Hope so. Grow in humility, but we're complete. We rest. We rest. And there's more. Some of these folks, it's hard to rest around that are so holier than thou. You know, I don't find much rest in their presence. Do you? I don't find much rest. I find rest in the presence of people who are real people. Worship a real Savior, a real God, and real faith, and real love, and real honest belief. That's right. We just rest. And fourthly, this rest is from the guilt of a sinful nature. This rest is rest from the guilt of a sinful nature. Let me tell you something. Paul talks about it here in Romans 7. Won't you turn with me to Romans 7? Romans chapter 7. Now everybody here will admit publicly, everybody here that's redeemed, that believes on Christ, will admit publicly that you have a new nature. You have a new spirit, a new heart, a new nature. You have a new love that God shed abroad in your heart for the brethren, for the leaders. For all people, you changed the person. God made the difference. You changed it. You admit that. But what everybody here admits is some of us are part of us that hadn't changed. We still got an old nature. We still got a sinful nature. We still got that nature that we were born with. Still there. Paul admitted that. Listen to him in Romans 7, verse 18. I know in me, that is in this flesh, well, it's no good thing, no perfect thing, to will is present with me. That's that new nature. The will is present with me. Now how to perform that which is good, that which is perfect, I can't find that in me. Can you? For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that's what too often I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, it's sin that dwelleth in me. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new person. I'm a son of God. I'm redeemed. But I have a nature in me that battles against this son of God. Against against this nature of Christ. I find then, verse 21, a lot of it. When I would do good, that old nature is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I do. Don't you delight in the law of God? If you could have perfect holiness, would you like to have if I could be just like God, just like Christ, I want that more. I want that more. But I'm not. I've still got problems, don't you? There's a nature of the flesh that wars against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. There's a conflict. I think things I shouldn't say things I shouldn't say. Verse 23, I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, O wretched man that I am. I still am. Who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm already delivered. I'm just waiting for graduation. Just waiting for manifestation. I can't kill that old nature. I can't kill it. But I can do all I can do is suppress it. And I try to suppress that old nature, mortify that old nature, crucify that old man. I'm not going to let that old man, though, destroy my rest in Christ. I did not know. And don't you either. Is that a statement? He said, if I could just get rid of these thoughts, if I could just get rid of this temptation, if I could just get rid of things I see, and when it can. So what are you going to do? I'm going to rest again. I've got two deaf ears. I've worn these hearing aids for 20 years, about 30 some odd years ago. My hearing gets worse, worse, worse. Well, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. I can't hear people when they talk to me. But I'm not going to go in a room, shut the door, and not preach and not visit with anybody and not try to talk to anybody. I'm just going to live with them. I'm going to live with these deaf ears. And I'm going to live this old nature. You see what I'm trying to say? These ears are not going to stop me from being happy. They're not going to stop me from fellowship. And they're going to stop me from playing with my grandchildren even though I can't hear a word they say. Not a word. I went to a doctor one time about these ears. A doctor down in Lexington recommended Dr. Walmsley. Told me to go see this young man. Graduated Mayo, Rochester, somewhere, Minnesota, or somewhere. Anyway, I went in his office and sat down in the chair, and he said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Well, I want you to check my hearing. I said, if anything new has come along, I'd like to try just anything to hear." He said, "What's it like?" I said, "Well, I can hear you pretty well." He had a good, strong, big voice. "But I can't hear women and children." He said, "Why would you want to hear women and children?" So that won't live with me. It's a good illustration, though. We've got a handicap and infirmity that God has permitted by His sovereign will. And that old nature you've got is left in you by His sovereign will. So live with it. Suppress it. Put it down. But don't let it put you down. You rest. You enter His rest. He said, "You come to me and I'll give you rest." What's the rest of that? Our Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your souls." In other words, you come to Christ by faith, believing Him, and you immediately enter, and we do enter into rest. Rest from the curse of the law. Rest from the condemnation. Rest from the ceremonies and sacrifice. Rest from the guilt of this old nature. Rest in Christ. The more you learn of Him, the more you find rest. More rest. More this inner sweetness and deeper rest. Peace. My peace, I give. Peace. And here's the fifth one. This rest is rest from the fear and doubts regarding death. Rest from fear and doubts regarding death. Let's not be afraid to die. Paul said, for me, to die is gain. He said, really, I'm in a straight betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Yeah, but are you sure that die, you're going to be with Christ? Wait a minute now. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isn't that right? He's your shepherd. We've entered into a rest because He's my shepherd. And if He's my shepherd, He's a good shepherd, He's a great shepherd, He's the chief shepherd, and His sheep do not want. Lead me paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Lead me green pastures, He leads me beside still waters, He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, He's with me, His rod and His staff comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy have and do and will follow me all the days of my life. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. We rest in our prayer. All right, watch this now. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Who's that talking about? That's Christ. Put Christ's name back. For Christ is entered into his rest. Christ has ceased from his own works that God did from him. God created the world and said it's good and rested. Christ died on the cross, said it's finished. Went to the right hand of God and sat down. He entered into rest. I hear these preachers say the Lord said, walk in the streets of heaven and lead over the banisters of heaven, hoping you let him have his way. He sat down. Our Lord is sat down, expecting the redeemed to be made his footstool, expecting till all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. That doesn't sound like somebody walking the floor to me. And him that comes to me, I'm in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Christ is entered into his rest, and he ceased from his works because they were finished, as God did from his. Now, verse 11. Let us labor. You mean there's some work to do? This labor is strive. This labor is endeavor. This labor is make it your soul's ambition and desire. What? Therefore, to enter into that rest. That rest. What rest? Christ rest. Christ finished his work as God finished. Now you labor. Now you strive. You endeavor. By faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help us to enter into that rest. After, lest anyone fall after the same example of unbelief. Those folks talk about like those. We're not like that. We're not going down the hill, are we? Well, I'll read this and then I'll close. For the word of God, who would talked about here, that's something about Christ. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God sharpening its two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But man, what makes you think that's Christ? Well, I'll tell you, here's the first reason, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. You know that? For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing in the soul and spirit, the discerner of the thoughts, and there's not any creature he doesn't know. He's talking about him. So he's the Word of God who spoke for us in the everlasting covenant. He's the Word of God by whom the world was created. He's the Word of God by whom we were begotten. He of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. Christ is the Word of truth. It's by the Word that we'll be raised someday, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, dead in Christ will rise. Lazarus, come forward. When he comes back, it's a lot of Lazarus that's going to come forward. He's going to stand with a shout. Don't believe this thing about the rapture. He's going to sneak in. A bunch of people are going to sneak out. Nobody knows they're gone. Come on. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You ain't never heard a shout like that. And the dead in Christ. We which lie in the manger would change and call us together with them to meet the Lord. That's not going to be a secret rapture. That's going to be a whale of a demonstration of the power of our God. That's the Word. Rest. All right, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have, not going to have, we have such a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He's not ministering in a tabernacle of badger skin. He's in heaven itself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That holds our possession. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We've got a high priest that was in all points tempted just like we are. Just like we are. He lived here 33 and a half years, and all the time it was a time of temptation. I've been here 73 and a half, and it's been a time of temptation. That's right. And it's going to be that I've entered into this. Not mine, by feeling or experience or profession or religion. His rest. He said, his rest, my rest, that rest. Let us therefore come boldly. And the only people that can come boldly before him is believers. You've got to believe before you can be bold. You got to believe before you can be bold. But a man who really believes can be bold. He can come without reservation under the throne. That's not a throne of judgment. I don't want anything to do with judgment. Not a throne of power and majesty. I'd just be melt like a candle. But the throne of grace. Grace for the guilty. Mercy for the miserable. Salvation for sinners. I can feel that still. I'm going to come boldly. And I'm going to obtain mercy if you are to. And grace to help in our time of need. When's your time of need? Right now. When you're trying to sleep tonight. When you get up in the morning, you can't get them old bones moving. The time to be. Every day the time to be. Find grace to help to forgive, to give, to show mercy, to love, to grow, time to be. To be what I'm supposed to be, it ought to be, it won't be. The time to be. But where are you going to find it? You won't find it reading Harry Emerson's Fosdy's book on positive thinking. You read it by I come to thee. That's his word. All right. Our Father, we thank you for this time together. It's been a blessed, sweet, precious time. Thank you for your word. I pray you would make your word be effectual in our hearts. We may fully, completely believing on Christ, looking to him, enter into his will. Cease from our labors and our works. Rest in him. Come and live. I'll give you rest. Learn your mindset for yourself. Bless our pastor. He preaches tonight. Drives home tomorrow. His journey and mercy. Bless us on the Lord's Day as we come together again. Bless our friends who have gone through surgery today. Pray you to give them healing of the body. Bless those who are weary and troubled. Those who are suffering. We commit unto thee all of our dear people. Your grace, which is sufficient. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. All right, you want to listen to another song? You have one picked out? We'll stand while we sing. That's our business.
175, 175.